Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh!
Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jax weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the Big Random Question Show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. This is going to be the first Random Questions program in quite a while, so we're really excited to get our friend Junkman back in the mix. So we hope you've had a chance to send in your random questions, and we thank you for those who have. You can, if you do want to do this again in the future, you can go to @DitCow and tweet us your random question. In fact, I wouldn't even mind if you tweeted random questions when we're not doing a show, because then that would make it really easy for us to just have a queue of questions that we can get to. So you can do that whenever you want. And then we'll see. If we end up getting an enormous amount of them, then maybe... it's a different scenario, but right now I think anytime's a good time. So Junkman has just joined us officially on the phone, so we're ready to rock and roll this on America's favorite moment in sports podcasting.
Do the dance! It's time for random questions.
Good stuff
in the city with Kevin on the cake.
So good to have our friend back. And it's been a while. Kevin, good to have you with us. How's it going tonight?
I like that we're still the America's most favorite moment in sports talk podcasting. It's pretty awesome after all these years.
Oh, yeah. We have staying power, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we've been chatting off and on the text. And I guess we have some updates for everybody. I mean, I think we did talk about how we talked about you have a new little baby boy, and that was about a year ago,
hopefully... not so little anymore.
Oh yeah, is he growing up?
Oh yeah, big boy. Took him to a possible daycare place today. That was traumatic for me, not so much for him.
right, yeah. No, that's good. I mean, so he's taking that well. That's good. How's
15 months. He's 15 months old.
Wow. Gosh, where does the time go? 15 months already. You know,
I know.
Felt like yesterday he was born. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you're at 15 months, have you gone through like some of the big things like teething? Has that been in effect already?
I feel like teething for him has been going on for like 9 months.
Oh,
no,
wow.
The poor guy. Yeah. There's some people who they kind of come in like a week and they're done. But this guy, yeah, he had the two like four front teeth pretty quick. And then these are just, it's just this like slow burn. Mm. Every week.
Yeah.
It's like one or two. So yeah, it's very uncomfortable for him, I'm sure. I mean, I think it's the weirdest thing ever. I mean,
yeah,
like stuff is coming out of your mouth.
I mean,
just imagine.
How could we even have gone through that as adults? Like, that just sounds so painful. Like, could you imagine if you were teething at your age right now? Like, that just seems...
Oh, forget it.
Right. It's like, and to force that on a baby, that's just so mean. It's like, it's insane that can be allowed in nature.
Yeah, not just the pain, but like the it's just weird. Like they're like, what is this?
Yeah,
like that part of it is odd to me. Like I, you know, after a while they figure out, you know, what going to the bathroom looks like. You know, they get that. You know, after the first, but this is like there's something just coming out of the ends. My insides are coming out. So, but you know, they're little. They won't remember any of this apparently. So
yeah,
I mean, I certainly don't remember mine. So.
Right. I don't remember mine either, but...
But yeah, he's got the teeth. He's got like probably half of them.
Okay.
Walking. So he's got...
Wow.
Got, I don't know. He's talking.
Mm-hmm.
Does all sorts of... Which It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm really cool that he's walking. I mean, I don't remember when babies start to walk. I guess it's about 1 year.
The one thing I can tell you from going through this, man, and then going to like these other play groups now, these other parents, it's different. People are so ridiculous when they talk about babies should do this at this age or that age. It's totally across the board. I went to this library, you know, like story time at the library, and he was the youngest, but he was the only one that was talking. And then there was a girl who's like older than him who still crawls, but then there's girls, you know, everyone's at their own development. It's so individualized, you know. I'm sure there are some things, you know, with babies and development, but it's so personal. I mean, whether, you know, and then there's some kids, like he doesn't sleep through the night with us, but there's some friends of mine who have had from like the second month of their kid was born, the kid was sleeping in its own room for 9, 10, 12 hours.
Wow.
So it's all different.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess we don't all grow at the same rate and we don't all develop at the same rate. That's a good point, you know? So,
and we all don't have the same lunatic parents, you know? I mean, no one, none of these other kids have me and my weirdness. And same thing as it goes for...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For sure. I gotcha. When he gets older, are you going to get him into, like, baseball and sports and stuff? Like, is he going to... I mean, no one ever forces people into stuff, but, like, do you think he will grow up being a Met fan or a Yankee fan, like, as he gets older?
I don't know. I mean, he's certainly going to... I'll give him any opportunity to do all those things.
Yeah.
Outside of probably, you know... I can't see him playing football, but... baseball for sure, and... I'm not in that personality where you have to be a fan of this team. I mean, know me, Dave. I don't own a jersey. I don't own a Mets hat. I don't have this. There's nothing on the walls. Like,
you don't even have a hat.
I don't even have a hat. I actually have a Red Sox hat and a Cubs hat, and that's only because of that food truck tour we did back then when I you know first met you when we first did the show. We were driving around the country, and because we went to Fenway and Wrigley, so I just bought them. Because it was more like a memory of going to these things with my, at the time, girlfriend. And so, yeah, I have a Cubs hat and a Red Sox hat. We don't have cable. We don't watch sports. I mean, I'm totally, it's wild what has become. So I'll watch the World Series or the Super Bowl on the computer through the TV. I don't know how my wife figures out how to do that, but, yeah, I don't watch any sports so.
Right.
We'll let him try everything, including, you know, music and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
well, if I've always had this thought, well, number one, I think you guys are now in mainland Massachusetts, so he's probably most likely to be a Red Sox fan more than Yankees or Mets. So, I should have thought of that first.
But. Yeah, we're pretty far west. We're almost in New York. We're actually kind of closer to Albany than we are to Springfield or Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't. We're not really in like a sports bar-y type town. But I see, and there is a tourist element here, so we do see tons of Yankee hats in the summertime, tons of those people out. Not so many Mets fans. It's definitely Giant. It's more Giant. Pat, it's pretty even. What I've noticed just by like looking at, you know, flags and mailboxes of when I'm driving around.
Right.
It's pretty down the middle there.
Okay. When you're in Massachusetts and Connecticut seem to be kind of divided in that regard, right? Like when you're talking about who's rooting for the Giants, who's rooting for the Patriots, it is pretty even. You're right. Because, you know, we have our friend.
Yeah.
You know, we have friends over there and they pretty much say the same thing. So.
Yeah, you'll definitely see more New York influence in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Just because of
in Connecticut, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you used to live in did you live in Stamford at one point? You had to, right? Because I know that you worked for.
I had my apartment was in New York, but yeah, I was there working.
Every day okay, for okay.
That's where the NBC Sports, the offices were when we redid the NBCSports.com was in Stamford.
Right. And that's where they are now too. Like they do all their sports stuff there. So.
They're still there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because, like, they don't even, like, even regular NBC does their sports, like studio stuff there now. They don't even go to Rockefeller Center anymore for that. So it's like they just centralized everything in Stanford in this building. And I passed by it. It's like, oh, this is it. It's like, that's it. Like, but that's the building. That's where they do all the NBC sports stuff. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I do remember them because I still have some friends over there. But yeah. Yeah, because they have all their Olympic stuff out of there too, I think.
Yeah. That definitely. How's your wife doing? How's Suni these days?
She's awesome. Yeah, she's great. Still just rocking along, working from home for the rice company and teaching yoga on the side and pretty much keeping the entire house together, you know. Because she's awesome.
Yeah,
she said to say hi, and she said to say thank you for the Christmas card. I told her I'd thank you, but she didn't believe me.
Oh, you're glad to do it. Glad to do it. You know, I was just thinking of you guys, and I really wanted to get that out and make sure. I don't know if you got it on time, but hopefully it was close enough. And for those of you who didn't see it, I basically sent a bunch of cards that were themed like the Grinch. And, you know, that was really cool, the Dr. Seuss company, to come up with those. And so I sent them to friends, and I sent one to you. So it was really cool. I was glad that you got that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, classic Grinch, too. It's not the, you know, the...
Oh, yeah, totally.
Cartoon Grinch.
Of course. Wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever end up seeing Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Well, I was just... That was pretty much... No, I actually didn't have anything else. I was just going to ask if you saw the movie... There are actually two movies now. There's actually a live-action movie that came out a while ago with Jim Carrey. That was years and years and years ago. And then the other one more recently, which was a computer-animated Grinch. But it's not even like the real Grinch. It's kind of like a spin-off Grinch movie where it's just like him doing regular... I don't know the exact plot, but it's kind of like a spin-off of that story where it's not literally the story, but kind of like some offshoot of like the Grinch in his life, I guess. So I can't imagine seeing any of those.
Well, that's all that happens right now, are like remakes and prequels and sequels.
So
they probably have like the backstory of the Grinch as a kid. He was probably...
I think there was a little bit of that in this new one.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, actually there was a little backstory in that new movie. I think I remember that. In the trailer.
How he became to be so mad and green.
Yeah. See, there's actually something to that. That might be interesting to watch. So, But you're right. There's a lot of lack of creativity, which makes this month, actually, the best month to go to the theater, because that's when, like, the Oscar-nominated films are in theaters. And you get at least the more original material comes out because they're trying to get an Oscar for it. And this year is actually a pretty good crop of movies, and that's like what I really want to do this year. I want to see more movies. And it's kind of like I watch too many sports, and it's weird I'm doing the show and I'm saying that, but I do. I watch like too many games. Like, I've come to the conclusion that I need to dial it down so I can culture myself with more arts. So,
okay, I like that.
Yeah, like then there's different ways of going about it, like watching movies and not like popcorn movies like Jumanji, which I saw, and I love Jumanji, but other movies too, you know, movies that people will actually write positive reviews about. I think they did like Jumanji though, but to give you a good example. Have you heard that new movie, that 1917, that's out? It's about trying to relay a message to troops in 1917 during World War I.
No, I have not heard of this one.
You haven't heard this one? All right, well... Maybe you will at some point, but see, that's a good topic for me.
I've only heard of the movies that were mentioned in Ricky Gervais's monologue. I don't know any of the other movies.
The Ricky Gervais. Yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. But look, let me.
No, we don't spend any time on that. I'm just saying, I don't know any movies. I mean, I know it was odd because I don't. I got all the references in that, mm-hmm. in the jokes. But I don't know the movies. That's probably because he was singling out humans. So I know the people. because we have Netflix, right? So I saw the Irishman, but that's...
Oh, you did see that
one. It's not on Netflix or Amazon. Oh, yeah. I spent many... I mean...
Yeah, it was
I think maybe... I don't know. It was probably only... It was probably three nights, I'd say. I think I almost got to the whole thing in two nights. But it was weird because... I don't know. Did you watch it?
No, I didn't see that one yet because it's 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was my overriding feeling watching that was like, I know all this stuff already. Like, mm-hmm. this stuff has been covered in all of these movies mm-hmm. by these actors and this director or before. This is just like they're all putting it into one movie. Like, I know the Jimmy Hoffa stuff, and I obviously I know the Philly mob background and the New York, the Miami, the Cuba connection. Like, we all know all of these stories. I guess the guy, the Irishman, the De Niro character, he wasn't ever really immortalized in a feature film, but the book has been out forever. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It was like, okay, we're going to put Pacino, De Niro, and Pesci in a Scorsese movie all together at last. So you guys have to watch it. Harvey Keitel, just that alone is going to make people watch it. But overall, I was just like, the Hoffa stuff to me with Pacino was kind of silly. Like, that part, the De Niro was cool, but the Pacino part, I kind of zoned out on those. So I'm like, Jimmy Hoffa, we've done him to death, and no pun intended. But so it was all right, but it gets so much attention because of, you know, who's in it.
Yeah, the names are the biggest draw, which was, I guess that was the point. Like, they're like, hey, they got them all in the one movie? That must be something wild, and that was definitely interesting to me, too. But I still haven't gotten around to it. I mean, once they told me how long, I was like, dang, dude, I got to take out a whole week just to watch the movie, but...
Oh, yeah, that was like, I was like, holy cow, like, that's Kevin Costner's, like, geez, really, that's too long. You know? Like, you can't...
Oh,
yeah, that's ridiculous, Marty. What are you doing?
I know. It's crazy. I'll give you my thoughts into the next random questions when I get around to the movie. I think I might at somewhere in there. Okay, so you didn't see one of them. I mean, I saw one of them, too. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a few months ago, back in the summer. And I liked that movie. That was a pretty good movie. I figured it was going to be nominated too. So, you know, classic Tarantino. I don't know if you put it in the Mount Rushmore. I mean, that's a tough ask because he's got some big ones in there. But I'm not sure if it goes in the Mount Rushmore. I would say no. It just seems like there's much more iconic film that he's done to go there. But it was a good
People
movie.
People do Mount Rushmores with movies because that's a pretty good idea for out of you there.
Yeah.
People do like the Scorsese Mount Rushmore and the De Niro and the whoever, because I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
that's
it's
better than sports.
Well, if I'm going to do less sports, then this would be a good way to do it, right? So,
it seems like sometimes the sports ones are pretty cut and dry. And
oh, you mean
the
Mount Rushmore tournament? Yeah, I've had enough of that too. Like, that's it's been done to death. Like, NFL.
Yeah,
the Cardinals.
We need to move the conversation to something else. Like,
yeah,
and musicians or like, you know, records and that kind of stuff. There's been tons of those. Like, top 10 decade, yeah. Rolling Stones best albums, best, you know, whatever guitars. They did that big time a couple years ago. I remember that was all over the place. But the movie one, I mean, yeah. You get, like, your top 100 movies of all time. I remember that came out a long time ago, the American Film Institute.
Day
that
was Fly, cool. 150,
Yeah, that I tried to watch. That's when I, you know, was living by myself, and we could watch movies. I tried to watch the old ones
mm-hmm.
that were on there, a lot of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a good one, Dave. Like, because you could do, your like, De Niro, Mount Rushmore of his movies, or even, like, Clint Eastwood. Quentin Tarantino, like you said.
Tarantino's a good one to start with, I think. And because even if you hadn't seen him, and I have not seen a lot of them, but I'm familiar with enough of them to get an idea of what the cultural impact of many of them are. So why don't we start with that? Like, what would be the first one that comes to mind for you for a Tarantino Mount Rushmore?
Oh, I don't know his work as much as some other people, but I always think... That I still think Pulp Fiction is better than Reservoir Dogs, which they're both awesome. But
mm-hmm.
I guess I like watching Pulp Fiction more. I think it's actually I've always thought about Pulp Fiction that it's It's underratedly, it's hysterical. It's so funny, and people don't give it credit for being funny, but it's so smart and so well written that, I mean, there's times where I'm like, it's literally like laughing out loud. People think I'm crazy because they're like, they just shot that woman in the chest with a, injected her with whatever it was. And I'm laughing the entire time. I just think it's so well, some of those scenes are so well done. But yeah, Reservoir Dogs is cool, but I don't know, that's like one of the movies that people say is awesome, and then you ask them a little more about it, and they haven't actually seen it. They just think it's cool, cause they've heard something about it. But yeah, I don't know as much about his, some of his other ones. I saw Jackie Brown and, oh gosh, a few other ones. But not enough to, I probably only know four of them by heart, so that would be unfair, because I would just pick those four.
Wait, those are, but you did say, you do have a couple of good ones, though. I mean, obviously, Pulp Fiction's a lock, like, that's in there, that's easy, like, that's an easy one. I did see Reservoir Dogs as well, as well as you, and that's got to be in there. I didn't really like the movie, honestly, but I get it. It was like the beginning of the entire saga of Tarantino. Like, I don't remember if it was literally his first film, but I think it is. And it set the groundwork for a lot of his style. So I think that's in there for sure. And then after that, I don't know. I'm probably thinking beyond that. You have a good one with Jackie Brown. I was thinking Kill Bill. The first one, I think, would be in there. But like you said, there are people who are much more experienced with these films than me, that would have a better idea. So I'll ask around sometime. No, that's good. So you good with are you good with that? Like with those first three though?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess we can use that for the Tarantino one. Which one do you want to do next? Like what other Mount Rushmore movies would be interesting to you?
To me, I'm more blown away by this idea, because you can even do like the genres alone, like, you know, top five comedies, because that would just take forever.
Oh, but, wow, yeah.
You know, or top five movies about the mob, or whatever, Mount Rushmore movies about the mob. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm much more knowledgeable about, I guess, older movies than I am the newer ones. So, like, if you were like, hey, let's do Paul Newman or Bogart or Cary Grant for some, you know,
Wow. You said old. I wasn't thinking that old, but that's pretty old.
Yeah, or Hitchcock movies, you know,
yeah.
Or.
Well, Hitchcock is a good one, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
I think we should probably you could almost like sit on this one and turn it into a show down the road. Like,
yeah, that's a great call.
Because I think right now I can just tell my brain's all over the place, so I think we would probably end up rambling for the audience too much. Like it almost needs to be a little. I don't know. You just said your resolution was to do more art. I mean, you can maybe you do like a once a month. You sneak in a. Movie podcast.
Hey, that's a great idea. We have people that can help us with that. I mean,
dude, you can do roundtables on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to tell you how to do your show, but
that's a great idea.
Give these guys some homework and be like, hey, I need you to watch.
Yeah.
Some of this, some of that, and I mean, that's one of the things about your show. You've always been able to source and find people who are literally like experts in certain things.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. That's something I'm proud of too. I love it because I'm blessed to have like friends who do have like expertise in many different things. Like, you know, have you heard our Oscar show? Like the two we did so far, or the more than two? But
oh no,
yeah,
did one last year.
We did one last year, but the one you want to start with is the one that we did in 2018. That was a really good show. Like we, a couple quickies. Really good movie buff. And then Andy in Seattle, nice. Also pretty good with movies.
Yeah. There you go.
You don't even have to have watched them to enjoy it, because they break it down so well. It's like you can get a feel for what the movie was.
You really don't even have to sell it to me anymore. Like when you just said ACQ and Andy and you.
Yeah.
whatever the show is about, I'll go look it up.
It's totally worth it. That will be February 2018. If you go back to the website, it'll be there somewhere. So,
right.
Can't recommend that enough. And yeah, we did have some ideas like beyond that too. Kind of similar to what you're saying. Like we could do topics about like retrospectives on certain stuff. And this Mount Rushmore idea is definitely a good, fun.
You could save it for, you know, when someone dies or someone gets a lifetime achievement or someone's in the news, you know, for some reason. Mm-hmm. You know, like a couple years ago would have been a perfect time for a Kevin Spacey Mount Rushmore. Guy could not get off the news to save his life.
He's as good as his career's dead, you mean? So
he was just everywhere for, you know, like a month. It would have been a perfect time to bring up, you know. Guy just drew a blank on that one. That's amazing. Why can't I think about the Kaiser Soze? What the hell is the name of that movie again? Usual Suspects.
That's right. The one that put him on the map,
just
I think.
Just start there and start rolling from there. I mean, mm-hmm. He's a weirdo, but the guy's an unbelievable actor.
Yeah. Very good takeaway there, because he was brilliant. But sometimes with brilliance comes a little oddity, and yeah, he was a nut. He was kind of a psychopath, actually. But I don't even know what to say about him now. I don't know what he's doing now. I guess I don't even think he's allowed to come back in the country. That's what I seem to have remembered from the last like year or so. But
who knows?
You know. Completely disappeared off the face. I mean,
no, he's definitely in the country. He's definitely in the country because last year he was in court in Boston for that thing. It was out on Martha's Vineyard, you know, near the Cape where I was at for all the times.
Oh, that's funny.
So I think they ended up, I think it was either thrown out or settled or something. But yeah, he was in Boston.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he had to show up to at least one of them. So he's around.
All right. Well, So that's the latest on Kevin Spacey.
There you go. Yeah, see, people don't know what they're going to get when they tune in to the show. You got a Kevin Spacey sighting.
Yeah. So true. So
possible, you know, Dave's never watching a sporting event ever again.
I wouldn't go that far. But you know what? We're going to segue to this in a moment because I want to get to this first question. You don't have a lot of questions tonight, but this one is a great one. This question comes to us from TMF Trump. So he's from the board. At TMF Trump. And he says, if you were stuck on a desert island with a DVD player and only one Alec Baldwin movie, which movie would you choose? The Departed doesn't count.
The Departed doesn't count. Doesn't matter. Because my choice is very simple. Not simple, but it's easy. It's not no-brainer, lock, done. Put it in a little box. Give me the DVD. I think I even have the DVD. Now, before I answer, mm-hmm. like he doesn't have to be the main. He just has to be in the movie, right?
That is a good question.
Even the Departed, he's not the main star, right?
No, but there's so he's got. Yeah, you're right. No, he didn't have to be the main character. No, he doesn't have to be.
Okay.
Good question.
All right. Well. He's only in the movie, in this movie that I'm going to pick. You'll probably know it by this. Maybe. I don't know if you know this one. He's only in this movie for about 10 minutes. But he absolutely steals the show from some of the best actors, including Kevin Spacey going.
Oh.
Have you ever seen Glengarry Glen Ross?
No, I haven't seen that one. Wow.
All right, that's one of probably my 10 favorite movies of all time. That's probably the movie I've seen that movie the most. But it's in there, and that is Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Kevin Spacey, Alec Baldwin, and Ed Harris is in there, and Alan Arkin's in there, and it's a David Mamet play that was on Broadway for I don't know like 10 or 15 years probably, and they made it into a movie, and it's just about salesman who literally back in like the 80s, who just cold call you and try to sell you real estate, like sight unseen. But that part doesn't really matter. It's the writing and the acting in this movie is literally off the charts, unbelievable. Pacino is probably the worst in it.
Oh, that's, if that makes, well, yeah, I guess like that's right. Because
Lemon and Spacey and Baldwin, who is pretty much, he's not unknown at this time. Like, this is probably like early 90s, but he's certainly not on the level of those guys. I mean, Jack Lemmon alone is like, are you kidding? So he comes in as this like hot shot by a guy to do like this pep talk for them. And he's, like I said, he's probably in the movie for 10 minutes. And it is, it's one of those scenes when you first watch it. When I first watched it, it was like my jaw was on the floor. I'm like, that was, it was amazing. It was, he's kind of like, I don't know if he's a joke. I mean, the Baldwin brothers for a while were kind of a joke, but mm-hmm. you see him in this, you're like, holy shit, this guy is amazing.
That's a great recommend. I got to check that out for sure.
Just to hold the room with, like, mm-hmm. like I said, Spacey and Pacino and Jack Lemmon are sitting there, and you can't take your eyes off
Jack
the guy.
Lemmon, too. It's a while ago.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. When did it come out? Like, 20 years ago? 25?
My guess is like 90, I don't know, like 91, but I can look it up. 92. I was close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's from as 1984 was the play. But yeah, that movie is amazing.
I got to see this.
There's my answer.
That seems to be like prime Alec Baldwin. Well, I don't think there is a prime, because he's been prime for his whole career. Like, he's good today. Like, he's been good forever. So I don't think there's...
Oh, Jonathan Pryce is in it, too. I forgot about him.
Ooh.
I mean, that movie was just... Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So I owe it to myself to check that one out. Like, see, that's not a more well-known... That's probably a little bit lesser known than some of his bigger ones. So I might actually have a shot.
Right. Yeah, because he's not in it. He's not like the main Billboard, you know, star of that.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, let me give you my answer, although it's not going to be the answer a lot of people select, but I love The Hunt for Red October. That's a great movie. Just incredible suspense. You know, peak Cold War. Kind of sit around the same time as your movie, actually. Pretty close. And it has Sean Connery.
I'm on his page right now. Yeah, 1990.
Yeah.
It was before, yeah.
Yeah. So just a year before, Sean Connery was in it. He owned it, and that was great. Good movie. It's just a really, really fun movie to watch, and just a lot going on, twists and turns, the whole thing. And it was really fun. He introduced the mainstream public to Jack Ryan, and this is an incredibly interesting character, a character that continues to be pursued today. Is that a Netflix series or is that Amazon? I forget which one it is, but. But he has his own TV show.
Yeah.
Not Baldwin, but Jack Ryan does, and it's a very...
Right.
I heard it's a really good show. So, anyway, the Tom Clancy series began with that movie, and it was good. So that's my answer.
I just looked at his filmography really quick, and I'm happy with both of our answers, because those are... Except I'm a little bit... I totally forgot about he was in Beetlejuice.
Yes, I was going to mention that briefly, and that's...
But he wasn't in that movie for that long either.
No. It was really just like sporadic, just like for parts of the movie. It was so long ago that I don't think people would recognize him, but because he's wearing the glasses.
Which, by the way, Beetlejuice is on Broadway right now. If you know,
is that true?
If you're ever in town, and the only reason why I know this, I'm not like on Broadway.com or anything, is we went to the city, like 5 weeks ago for the last Dylan show at the Beacon, and me and my brother were walking back through Times Square and saw all these kids hanging outside in this alleyway, and they were waiting for people to come out of a show, and I'm like, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's Beetlejuice on Broadway, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's amazing. I wouldn't even know. I mean, so, yeah. Beetlejuice is on Broadway.
That would work, though. That feels like a concept that
I feel like it would work.
Yeah, I think it would
work. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I did, like, peak... I didn't see the entire movie, but I watched, like, parts of Beetlejuice in a more... You know, like, last year. And, yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a pretty good movie. I like it. So, it's weird, but it's kind of...
That's a solid first question right there.
Yeah, yeah. All the credit to TMF Trump. He's one of the guys on the board. I forget which one, but It was a great question. He sent that a while ago, and I was like, I can't wait to ask this question. Such a good question. So thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, so only two more. So one of them is from Not in the Building. Do you remember him from the board? Do you remember him?
I mean, I certainly remember the screen name, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he is at NKC2228 on Twitter, and he asks, how come you never see a baby pigeon?
Whoa. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
He's right, too. I've never seen a baby pigeon.
Yeah,
I've walked around New York City a lot in my life. I've never seen a baby pigeon. Where the hell is Mike Tyson when you need him? He would know that answer.
Mike Tyson. Yeah.
He's got pigeons all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are like the only people that didn't abandon him. Those little pigeons. They must, I don't know, they must gain weight really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
They must go from like little birdie. They must have a development cycle that's faster than other birds. Because, I mean, you don't see baby birds a lot. I mean, you do see them. But they can't fly right away, but the pigeons don't really do that either.
Well, pigeons don't
I don't know.
Much
this one,
to begin with, yeah.
I'm going to, my only guess is that, because I mean, you only see pigeons in the cities, right? I mean, you don't have pigeons out in, like, the canyons, right, in L.A. Like, they don't. So they must not move at all for a few months. And then I'm just thinking that they must grow exponentially after they're born.
Yeah.
Even the little ones, you're like, oh, that's kind of an adolescent pigeon is still like a tank already. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Yeah. I think my thought on it is very similar. I think that they just start off big and then they grow enough to be good enough to move around and step into the street, and then they do. But that part where they go from baby to old enough to get to the street is like really small, like a small window, and it probably happens behind the scenes. So that's my thought too.
Yeah, I wonder if they like don't look like pigeons when they're born. You know how some animals, like, they don't even resemble what they're going to be as an adult. Yeah. So, like, we've seen a baby pigeon, but we didn't know it was a baby pigeon.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, if we just thought it was a baby chicken.
Right.
Or something.
Right.
Like, in a picture or at a farm or whatever, a petting zoo. And we were just too dumb or too, we think we know everything, so we didn't ask. Someone's like, no, that's a pigeon. But it's yellow. And they're like, well, the pigeons aren't yellow. I'm like, no, but at 6 months, they shed that first layer, and then they're already these big gray things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Man, I'm going to be staring at pigeons in the next, like, year because I'm kind of interested in this now, too.
Yeah, you're going to go, like, I'm going to go next time I go to the city, I'm going to go check, try to follow one back to its home, to its nest, see what's going on.
Yeah, that should be pretty funny. So, yeah, if you find anything, let me know. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So one more question, and it's really just my own question. But you don't watch TV, so this is... I can't even ask this question, because you watch...
Well, I do watch Netflix and Amazon.
Okay.
So it's possible.
Well, I guess I'll ask it this way. Did you know that Dylan's The Man in Me is being used in commercials today?
Yes, I knew that. Well, here's the thing with Dylan, Dave. I get like alerts. This is how pathetic I am. I have like my Google set up or whatever it is set up for any time that he's mentioned in an article, I get like an alert every night.
Oh, wow.
And I go to this website and read the article. It's called expectingrain.com. Mm-hmm. It's just like a Dylan. It's got his tour dates. And so anytime he's in an article about anything, so like around the Super Bowl time when he's been doing a Super Bowl or in a Super Bowl commercial for the last, like, I don't know, he's been in four or five of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, so I watched it. They, like, you know, they release it on that website. So I saw the commercial, yeah. And The Man in Me, because The Man in Me was from The Big Lebowski. They used that movie, that song predominantly in that movie.
Oh, is that what that is? It's like a send-up of the Big Lebowski?
Yeah, absolutely. The opening credits and I think the closing credits of the Big Lebowski. The Man in Me is the opening song of the Big Lebowski.
That's so dumb.
Sometimes people aren't. It's like early 70s Dylan, so his voice is a little clearer and a little fresher because he had taken so much time off before that. Yeah. So sometimes people are like, oh, that's somebody else. But that's him. So I did know that he's always let his stuff in commercials for a while.
Yeah.
People always think that's like, people always get all their panties in a bunch when they're like, oh, he's a sellout. And I'm like, he's been selling his stuff for a long time.
That's true, though. That is true.
He did a Victoria's Secret, one of his songs, or a Victoria's Secret commercial, I don't know, like
really?
12 or 15 years ago. Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. Like, it's just that what's interesting is that he's had such a long career that there are songs in there that aren't immediately obvious, and that's actually a good example right there, The Man in Me, because, you know, everyone's familiar with, like, maybe three or four songs he's done on popular radio, but he's done way more than that. Like, he's done... Like, Forever Young has been on a bunch of commercials. We know that. Like, that's an easy one, but...
Yeah, that was on a commercial, and that was on, like, that's a theme song for a TV show that was on for a while. The one with... My mom was crazy watching it. It was on NBC with Craig T. Nelson. I don't know the name of the show, but he was like the dad or the grandpa. But yeah, he's got so many albums and so many songs. He's 78 years old. So yeah. I mean, and he's been releasing albums since 1961. So we're going on, do the math, Dave, 60 years.
Yeah,
that's of stuff.
Incredible career and legacy.
Oh my God! We like I said, I haven't gone to a show in years. Mm-hmm. And every year, like he plays like a 7 to 10 day show run at the Beacon in Manhattan. And I've never pulled the trigger on him because the seats are always expensive and it's like getting down there's a pain in the ass now. But I just bit the bullet this year and like texted my brother and I said who's in Pennsylvania. I was like, if you can get to New York City, we're going on this show. And he's like, done. And then I convinced my wife to put all three of us in the car, and we took the train down. And my brother, it was insane. My brother, train was delayed. The show was Friday night, starting at 8 o'clock, and we were still down at Penn Station at, I think, like 10 to 8. Mm-hmm. waiting for his train to come in. And I was like, it was this like roller coaster. I was like sick to my stomach. I'm like, this isn't going to happen. And we're thinking like, it's the last time we're going to see him for a myriad of reasons. You know, Dylan could die. I could die. You know, he could stop touring. And it was the last show of the run. So the people were just, it was exciting, but I was like, and then he just shows up off this escalator, my brother, and we just happened to get on the express on the subway. You know, but that one just happened to show up the 2-3, wherever it is. I don't remember it's got to be the 2-3 uptown. And then we got off at 72nd Street, and I'm like, I can't see anymore. I'm so pathetic now, Dave. Like I'm looking at the and I have no sense of direction. So I'm like, is that? And a Beacon's on 74th, so I'm like, is that a 73 or a 71? Like, I can't even tell which way to go because I'm so old and blind. And we get there, and I took a gamble on, like, which side of the stage, and it turned out, you know, we're, like, right on the overlooking the first section off the floor, right. He's, like, you know, his piano's faced right at me, and I'm like, oh, my, this is absurd. And it was one of the most unbelievable 2 hours that my brother and I have ever had. Like, we just literally kept looking at each other like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, what else? What's going to happen next? It's 70-year-old guy who doesn't move, admittingly, very well anymore. Like, when he first came out, when the lights came up, he was just standing at, you know, the center of the stage, and he wasn't really moving. He looked like he was kind of frozen, and I was like, oh. I'm like, is it kind of like, is this going to be like late, you know, moving him around, or like they used to do with B.B. King, and because he could never walk towards the end. Mm-hmm. But his voice sounded amazing. It was super strong and clear. So I was like, okay, I can handle him not moving around. But then he was fine. He went to the piano and played a little tiny bit of guitar, and made some, towards the end, made a bunch of jokes, because there was Scorsese, William Dafoe, a bunch of famous people were in the front row, and he was just
They were in the building. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Apparently that was it was a thing, like, because everyone was like trying to go, you know, pull rank and see Dylan in New York. So all the New York famous people, you know, you have your L.A. famous people, and we have our New York you know, crew. So they all want to go there. And apparently Dylan caught wind of it, and he can be such a dick sometimes, which is awesome, which is why I love him. So he would just kind of like, like Jack White was there one night, and he's like, hey, Jack, you know, stand up, take a bow. And then, like, he was just calling these people out. And he said something. He's so corny and silly. Like, he said something about trying to convince Scorsese to make the first Temptation of Christ, because the last Temptation of Christ was very good, or something to that effect. I've probably bored everyone enough with my Dylan stuff, but what is the most amazing part to me is that the man, like I say, 78, but he will, there was a 10-minute chunk of this show, and I've seen this probably 50 times in my life, where he's doing a song that's like as rock and roll, like blues influence, rock and roll as you could possibly imagine, where these ladies in the front row are like banging on the stage, dancing like a bunch of teenagers. And then the place is just roaring. Old people, you know, old white dudes and white ladies just roaring. And then the lights go down and the next song comes up, and he's sitting on a piano doing like Girl from North Country, and these same people who were just roaring not even like 2 minutes ago are now crying.
Wow.
Like, I've never seen it, and I've gone to, you and I have talked tons of times. I've gone to tons of shows and old guys and, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, that kind of stuff. I've never seen anyone who can kind of play with an audience's emotions like that, in that form, and that where, like, you know, sometimes when you go to a show or you're at a band at your local bar,
right,
you know, they get the crowd going, they keep it going, you know, they're like, okay, and they throw in another fast song song in that kind of that same kind of vein, and then they wait till some kind of break, and then they slow it down and do like ballads and stuff. And but he does not do that at all. He's like, here's what you're getting, and you need to come along. And it was like, we left there going like, I literally, we didn't even take the subway home, we just sort of like floated 40 blocks back to the hotel. It was amazing.
Boy, what an awesome experience that is. And amazing that he's still doing it, like, you know, at his advanced age.
Yeah. He did like 100 shows this year. He's off to Japan in like a month.
Wow.
Doing more. Yeah.
That's incredible.
I think it's just one of those things, yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome. And it sounded like you, from what you said, you had a really good seat. Like, you're like right there. And that's awesome to me.
Yeah, well, the Beacon has like three levels, or I think it's three levels. So that first like loge level, like we're in the first row of that. So like, you know, no one's in front of you at all. Mm-hmm. Right on the end, I'm a big aisle guy. Like, I will sit further back if I can sit on an aisle and limit my exposure to other human beings.
Yeah.
So like, in the event of I go by myself, I only have one. Obviously, in this event, my brother was next to me, so it was like, it was perfect for me. I had my favorite person in the world, not that I'm not married to, obviously. I don't think she's going to listen to the show, but my brother's amazing. He's just favorite guy in the world.
Okay.
He's literally the greatest guy I know. So he's on my left, and I've got, you know, an usher every once in a while coming up and down on my right, so.
Yeah.
It was perfect for me. It was literally the perfect night, the perfect show. I don't know if we can go to another one, because that was like the end, you know, the lasting one.
What a way to go out. I mean, what a way for that run to end, if that was the last show that you got to see of his, or if it was the last show he does in the New York area for a while, at least. So
right.
That's really cool. See, that's the kind of stuff I want to do. I want to get involved in experiences like that. That's going to be tough to top. Like, that's a really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you have a great venue, great music venues out there, so I'm sure you could.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
it can be had for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan's an LA guy now. Anyway, I mean, well, Malibu, but mm-hmm. You know, he's right up there.
Okay.
Yeah, did you see the Netflix Echo in the Canyon one, the documentary?
No, is that about him?
I don't. No, it's not. But it's his Jacob Dylan. His son is the narrator, host of it. I guess sort of. It's about.
Is this about?
It's more like the 70s. It's more like the 70s. Music in Laurel Canyon.
Right.
Like
Laurel, that's what I was gonna say. I thought it was about Laurel Canyon. Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to remember the name, but
it's the Birds and the Beach Boys and. I think it's what he said. It was the last time the last interview Tom Petty ever did.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds right.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I don't know if you like that kind of music,
Documentaries. I'm into that definitely.
Different. It's done differently because Jacob Dylan, who is the Wallflowers,
right.
That was his band. He they'll do a segment in the documentary, and for example, we'll say they do a segment like a 20 minutes on the Beach Boys, then it fast forwards to Jacob Dylan playing this concert and doing a Beach Boys song with a couple other, Beck is in it for a little while and some other people.
Right.
I think, I don't know, some girl singers I didn't recognize, but it's done a different way. It's not kind of a straight forward documentary, but the bird stuff is really cool and the Beach Boys stuff is just like the other musicians, Tom Petty and the rest of them, talk about Brian Wilson. I always knew that Brian Wilson was, genius is kind of thrown out all the time, but was just so far ahead of his time when it came to writing music and the recording process back then. But to hear those guys, they talk about him was there was Brian Wilson and then there was everybody else. Like when it came to recording and the different sounds and the techniques they were using, they were just, it was pretty cool. I didn't realize he was that out of everyone's league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a few interviews with him, which are funny because he's got three marbles rolling around his head now.
Yeah.
And he just talks about it so matter-of-factly, oh, yeah, I just did this, and I plugged that in, and I wanted to go to this, and they had a big echo, and I just had that guy play the beat, and we did the song. And you're like, well, what? And these other guys are comparing him to Mozart and Beethoven and all these other things. And he's like, oh, yeah, it was simple. I just told the bass player, just go on the downbeat, and that's how we made Pet Sounds. And you're like, what? Yeah. That's not how they said.
It's amazing. Sometimes a genius is so good that he doesn't even recognize his genius, and that seems like the case with the.
Oh, I think that's totally the case.
Yeah, yeah. He's such a big influence because Pet Sounds, as far as I know, inspired Sgt. Pepper's because Sgt. Pepper's was trying to be Pet Sounds. That's my memory of it. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So and they talk about that a little bit. There's a few. There isn't that many. Clapton's in the documentary a lot, so there's a little bit of the English side of the story. And obviously Clapton and Harrison were close. And yeah, he says that when Pet Sounds came out in England, they all just lost it. They just kept, George Harrison. I didn't, not so much Lennon, but McCartney and Harrison just couldn't, were listening to it on just over and over and over again. And yeah, and I think they had... That's what was so cool, too, about the 60s, going back and forth with this sort of, across-the-pond rivalry that I don't even know if... I don't, neither of us are obviously alive back then, if it was played out in any sort of media back then. But you hear all those stories now, and how one album inspired the other and how Lennon used to try to write songs to kind of compete with Dylan's songwriting. Obviously the musician is different, but the songwriting stuff, and you go back and listen to Norwegian Wood, and it's like, holy cow, he basically just copied Fourth Time Around, which is an amazing Dylan song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the whole thing is, it's the same, it's almost the same song, and just with different words. And But yeah, and then Sergeant Pepper's, Clapton, I think Clapton says in this documentary, would not have existed if it wasn't for Pet Sounds.
Yeah, I believe that. I totally believe that. Because it is pretty, like, you have to, some people don't get why the Beatles are such a big deal, why the Beach Boys are such a big deal. And it's like, you had to listen to this in its time to really understand. Like, Pet Sounds is pretty mind-blowing when you think about how this sounds based on, like, whatever else was on the, top whatever, you know, top 100 of radio in those days.
Yes, you know, you're so right. You have to judge it in the context of, like, when it was made and what was going on. Plus, Pet Sounds, I think they had, like, four tracks back then. You know more about recording,
right,
obviously, than I would ever. Yeah. But now you have all these different tracks and the auto-tuning, and, I mean, like I said, you know all this stuff. I don't. But it's amazing what they were doing with the little technology that they had.
Yeah, that's a great call. Even in mono, four tracks is very little, right? Like, you can't do very much with four channels. It's like, it's...
Yeah, and especially when you're doing the mixing at the end, right? I mean, when you're trying to mix the album together, and if there's, you got to bring everybody back and do, I mean, so like they were having, like now every instrument, everybody's got their own track, right? So you can mess with that. But back then, like, the bass was on the same as the background vocals, or the drums and the piano are on the same thing. So yeah, I mean, and it, like you said, you have to judge it with what's going on too at the time. Like, they were going out of the 50s with the kind of, I don't know, that kind of Frankie Valli stuff, you know, the Four Seasons and they're a little and then there's like the folk music, and then these guys just blew the doors off of everything.
Right.
It's like I always tell people the same thing when people are like, "Oh, Nirvana wasn't that good. No, there's no good music from them." And I'm like, "You have no idea when that album came out, what else we were given to listen to. It was like a bunch of hair bands and Mr. Kid Toucher Extraordinaire, Michael Jackson. Like, that was it. That was what was on." That was it. That was number like, and these, you know, scraggly looking dudes who were probably, you know, 200 pounds put together, the three of them, totally bashed in the doors on everything. And all that came after it, where it was just like, oh, wow. So yeah, now if people were like, if that album just came out now, they're like, oh, okay, it's a little, these guys seem a little angry, but it was mind blowing. I can't even. Music is so personal to people, so it's always hard to do, like, this one's better than this one. But some of these people are actually underrated. Like, I've always, even though people love them, and there's some people who go so deep on Kurt Cobain and stuff, Nirvana to me is still one of the most underrated bands of our lifetime.
You might be right. Well, I think one of the reasons is because they only had like three albums, maybe four.
Right.
And
three official like releases, and there's like some other
one that was kind of unfinished or something like that, so but it's pretty intense. Like, it took a while for me to be able to listen to it. Like, that's how intense it was. Like, when I was younger,
me too, same thing. I was not a fan at all, like, at the time. I was not that I didn't like it, I just wasn't for me at the time. But yeah, and then you listen to more and you're like, actually, it's like the melodies and the songwriting is cool. And, it's cool. Like, you actually, if you slow some of them down, they're like danceable. Like, they're very, you know, like Revolver, Rubber Soul, like Beatles-esque, some of the riffs and some of the melodies that he's doing himself. Like, that's the same thing, like with the recording stuff. If you watch them on that, he's doubling his voice. Like, I think on a lot of that album, I don't think anyone was doing that at the time.
Like, he's doubling the voice himself. Like, you just like you.
Yeah. So he'll sing a take and then sing it again.
Right.
Just for like a fuller kind of, I guess, deeper sound. Where I guess some bands would have, you know, background, but he and it's really hard to do, you know, according to record producers, not me. I'm just what they was, you know, I guess it's not hard to do. It's hard to do well, though. And get it the same kind of timing and the same rhythm to it.
No, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, and you mentioned the grunge movement that it inspired, and a lot of great bands came from that. We have a lot of friends, like people that we know, you know, just people online, offline, whatever, huge fans of Pearl Jam. And so there's certainly many, many, many accolades we can present to them. They've been great. Soundgarden, they're also from Seattle. I don't know if, I think Pearl Jam's from Seattle too, but, you know, they were all part of that movement. Like, these were great bands. And who else? Well, Alice in Chains was kind of just before. And that's, I qualify them in that movement. That Alice in Chains is phenomenal. I love them. They're a great, group. Like, so good. Let's see. Anybody else that I would think of as, like, part of the godfathers of grunge rock? I mean, the Pixies would even be before that. I mean, where would you put them?
Yeah. Well, they're not Seattle, though, right? They're like Boston,
no, I don't know where they're from. That's a great...
I think it'll even go... It's just, to me, the whole Nirvana thing, it extends even more to the grunge Seattle thing. It was just...
Yeah.
I think of a more... well, Hole, Courtney Love's band, came, I obviously was somehow influenced there. And Smashing Pumpkins is from Chicago, but...
Yep.
I mean, they got pretty huge. But I think just in general, like, even guys like Beck and some other, like, just little different ways to go about records, because in the 80s we were just, it was the same stuff all the time. It was the same. My brother and I used to watch the MTV, like, you know, top 10 videos of the week or something. And
yeah.
I remember it was the same. It was like Poison, Def Leppard, Rat, Motley Crue. It was the same shtick over and over and over again. And was the Cherry Pie, that thing was on forever, but Warrant, you know,
yeah,
those
Cherry
kind of,
Pie, yeah, that's right,
all the time, those silly, there was nothing to those songs, they were terrible, if you listen, the lyrics were childish, I don't think it was that difficult to play the music that they played. I'm not a musician, but I'm guessing it wasn't, and then the 90s just, there was so much diversity, even into like the rap music that came out, you know, it was a little different, and like the kind of mixing together, you know, like the Sublimes or the Rage Against the Machines, like it gave just bands, and I think it even gave like record company people more like, we don't just have to go mail it in and get the next, you know, Poison going. We can actually go to some of these clubs where the kids are hanging out and find the next Nirvana, and even if it's not, you know, grunge bass, it could be, oh, there's this No Doubt, you know, like that kind of thing, like a girl lead singer doing this like ska punk thing, like that wouldn't have gotten it. Those kind of bands that I guess is even more like trickle down from the whole Nirvana effect. I think it like opened up some of the suits to go like, oh, Let's go. There's a lot of these kids out here that got something to say.
It was definitely remarkable, and living through that was really wild. And I think when I was going through it, and I was younger, certainly. I was like in junior high and then into high school. And yeah, I mean, I think as I got through more and more of that decade, I started to really appreciate it more. I didn't like it at the time, but remember, I was younger. Like, I was not an adult yet, so it was kind of different. So now I'm like, I can listen to these records, these collections, discs. Counting Crows, I don't know where you put them. Jim Blossoms, you know, I don't know where you put them. You know, there's just a lot of great bands from those days.
Yeah, those are a little like kind of lighter versions, you know.
That's true. How about Radiohead?
But like. Yeah, they're in a whole other
okay
conversation, I think.
That's true.
That's like when... Yeah, but I guess even later. They're a terrific band, just like the Black Crowes. You know, it's one of my favorites. I don't think they fall in that category.
Okay.
But that, they stick, you know, they started in the 90s. They're a little different. Radiohead, Black Crowes, I don't know, they're... Yeah, I wouldn't qualify them. They were more, especially the Black Crowes, was more influenced by the other side of the country, more southern rock and the, you know, Rolling Stones kind of the Bo Diddley's and those kind of people.
That's a very good point. Yeah, actually, because I think it's more bluesy, right? Would you say that about
right?
Yeah, okay, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, the County Crows whine a lot. They are, as I like to say, they are one of the founding, not the founding fathers, but they've carried the torch of Whiny Guy Radio.
Emo rock.
That guy whined.
That's true.
He just whines forever. I mean, he took. He took the ball from James Taylors and the Cure and all those guys who just whined about, you know, the girl who stood him up for the prom when they were juniors in high school and just smashed into the ground. I mean, and I liked the Counting Crows at the time. It was fine. But listen to him now, and I'm like, oh, my God, guy, really? You gotta move on. I mean, it is so whiny.
Yeah.
And it has its spot. I mean, it's still the Fray, you know, was a Denver band back in the day. Like, they whine all the time, you know, you should have called me back, and I don't know if Dukes, because my video game controller didn't come in the mail today, so I'm not going to do anything tonight now. And then, the King, obviously the King lives down the street from us, or at least he used to, James Taylor. I mean, that guy... Oh my God, he's now supplanted my. I just can't take him. Like if a song, a James Taylor song comes on in a store that I'm shopping in, I'm out. I gotta leave. if I'm carrying things, even if I'm carrying things in it, I just will drop the cart or whatever it is. I'm out. I gotta go. I'm like, I can't do this.
That's saying
it's too
something.
Much.
So for a guy,
right?
Who's,
especially now,
Even Paul Simon is not in his world now.
Paul Simon. I don't run away from Paul Simon anymore. In fact, my wife will. I think we have the Sirius XM in the car, and or the app, or whatever. And he'll come on, and she'll go to turn it because she knows that at some point I'm going to start having an eye twitch or some kind of weird reaction to the Simon and Garfunkel. I'm like, no, I'm like, it's okay, you can leave it on. And she's like, what? This happened a couple months ago. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I can deal with it. I'm growing as a person. You can Kodachrome or whatever the hell was the last one we heard.
That's a pretty miserable song, though.
Yeah, she's like, what's that song about? She's like, what's that song about? I'm like, I didn't say I'm going to discuss the man. I'm just saying you can leave the song on, but I'm not going to break down Bridge Over Troubled Water for you. Man. Even though I can, I'm not going to. Because then I'll get angry and you'll be like, why are you mad? 3 hours later, and I'm like, it's because I had to think more than 5 minutes about The Sound of Silence.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I like Simon and Garfunkel. I actually do like Paul Simon fine, but some of those songs are pretty bad. Like, I'm not going to get into that, but the point here is that you now have had James Taylor supersede him in the rankings. That's the news here. This is big news.
Yeah. He's unlistenable in my, and I don't know if there's any other unlistenable person. And the shame is he plays right down the road from us at Tanglewood, which is this old, amazing outdoor concert place. It's a summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Right.
So it's this really cool this place where you can go sit on the lawn, but they've added I guess they've always had it. They've always had. They call it a popular artist series. I mean, so it goes back 40 years because there was a article about Janis Joplin playing there. And so they have regular concerts there all the time. And he plays 4th of July, two nights. He plays the 3rd and the 4th. And everybody goes crazy. And they sell 20,000 seats. And he gives half the money away to charity. So it's annoying because he does nice things for the town. And but there's just no way. I almost want to see what would happen if next year, I just went out there and just sat in front with a sign, and just protested or picketed or something.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I think I know what's going to happen if he ever gets the halftime show of the Super Bowl. You're probably just going to not watch it that year. That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God. I think that might be the end of America.
They're not going to do that.
I thought that
would be so bad.
Yeah, I think you'd have. I mean, what are we up to now? Like 50 million people watch that game? Or more,
I think
probably.
It's still like 100 plus right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that would make, what's his name? The Jonestown, like, mass suicide.
Oh, boy, wow.
We would crush that by, like, wow. 4 million times, because the entire country would just be like, that's it, I'm done. They would just find every pill in the house,
yeah.
Just down them all.
You know, it's a funny anecdote. It was, you know, when I wasn't that long ago, but at some point in my life, I connected drinking the Kool-Aid with Jonestown, because that's literally where it came from. It was like that was part of the ritual. So it's a very interesting footnote. If anybody wonders where that phrase is from, and that's where it's from.
Absolutely, 100% correct.
It's one of the weirdest things. People say, like, things are crazy now, but things were crazy then, too. It's like the 70s really crazy. I mean...
Someone sent me an article about, what's his name? So now we're on this whole music thing. Kanye West, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that the guy who's married to the other girl, the girl that's famous?
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That he bought some, like, ranch in Wyoming or Montana, and he was building some kind of meditation theater or all this kind of stuff. He had to go in front of the city council in this really out-of-the-way Wyoming. He bought, like, thousands of acres somewhere. And the first thing I thought of was Jim Jones, and I'm like, oh, no, this isn't going to end well. It might be 10 years or 20 years from now, but he's going to try to start his own sort of...
Oh, boy.
Religion or something. I couldn't even name you one of his songs, but I just know that he's very famous.
Yeah.
So that's a little frightening.
That is frightening.
People don't, like you said, the whole repeating history, you know, if you don't learn from it, you're doomed to repeat it. So some people need to keep an eye on that guy. I'm just letting everybody know.
Yeah. Junkie breaks it here first. Watch out for Kanye West. He could be starting a new Jonestown. Watch out, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
don't drink,
Kev.
Don't drink Kool-Aid.
No, do not. Who even drinks Kool-Aid anymore anyway? I barely see Kool-Aid anymore.
I was going to say, it's probably going to be like one of the don't drink the Red Bull.
That's true.
Whatever he tries to tell you. Don't drink anything that...
Yeah.
Make sure it's got a bottle top on it and you open it yourself.
That's true. It's funny that some of these terms have been getting deprecated. I think the Kool-Aid one is a very good choice for that. It's like, I haven't had Kool-Aid in a very long time.
Like, yeah, I can't think how Kool-Aid even exists anymore. It's just, it's probably got the only thing that's got more sugar than Coke. I mean,
well, I mean, it's interesting. There is a lot of sugar. Yeah, definitely. Because isn't it just like wild where how much sugar they ask you to put in it? It's like, please put like 8 cups of sugar in it. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's sugar water. I mean, it's This is what my mother feeds to, like, hummingbirds.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's like, besides, you know, as we've established during our prop bet shows, Gatorade does it better anyway. It's like, if you want Kool-Aid, like, Gatorade is, like, just as good, and it's, like, kind of healthier. It actually has electrolytes and things. So why not just go all the way with it and do a somewhat healthier version of the drink, and it tastes just as good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just out of interest, like when we come back, are you interested in doing the prop bet show this year, like usual?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So if you were to make a call on the Gatorade color right now, just from your instinct, which one do you think is going to win out? Just from your early projection.
Well, it'll obviously depend on the teams as always.
That's true.
But I'm thinking.
That is true.
There's a red, right?
There's a very good chance there's a red. Not guaranteed, but there's a very good chance because you've got on one side you've got the 49ers, yeah. And the
that's where my brain went. The Chiefs and the Niners are the.
Yeah. So. There's a really good chance there's some red in there. So,
yeah.
There could be blue with the Titans. There could be yellow or green with the Packers, depending on how things go on Sunday. And then two doses of red. So it's like, it could even be red versus red, like if things go really well for the home side. So does make it interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll think about it. I don't know if you've got it on the tip of your tongue, but...
No, I don't.
No.
I was going to say red.
No, that's all right. I think this is a good place to end. I mean, we were doing great with the music stuff, and then we talked about Gatorade, and then all of a sudden, it's like, I guess it's good enough. So, it's really good to talk to you again, Kev. I mean that. It's,
yeah, man, you too.
Yeah, and all the best, and I hope everything goes well for you.
Are you down? Are you down like 120 pounds now?
That's right. I haven't talked to him since then. No, I did gain 8 during the holidays. Naturally, everyone does. But I've
solid.
Lost...
That's a good effort, man. 8 pounds during... I mean, what do you call the holidays? Is that like three weeks? Is it the whole month?
It's probably like a 2.5 week period. Like from the point...
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, so it's about 2.5 weeks.
Like when like the holiday, like your work party starts and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Do you guys have work parties there?
We did do one. I think we did our work party at a... Mediterranean restaurant, I think it was. It's pretty good. Like
but you
that.
Didn't go.
Yeah. And that's how it starts.
Did you not go?
No, I went. I went to it. But
oh, then how you sound unsure of what kind of restaurant it was.
No, because I didn't know if it was Mediterranean or Persian. It was like, I'm trying to determine which of the two it was. So it's like, maybe it was Persian, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Persian. I'm sorry. So, yeah, you know, tons of great food. Pita bread.
Yeah.
And then kebabs.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. Living where you live, it's just like you guys could just throw a dart out and find an amazing place to eat.
Yeah. No, I think it's a big reason why I'm still here. It's like traffic sucks. Some of the people suck. But the food here is unbelievable. It's just like, and you're right. Like almost every kind of flavor is here.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
And it's warm, man. It's warm.
Well, it's not warm right now, but. Warmer than where you are, I'm sure. Like,
what is it, like 53? 59?
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Dude, it's like 8 here.
Oh, really? 8 degrees. Yeah, that's pretty legit.
And let me see. The wind is howling. Well, it's like, all right, it's 19, but whatever. It's freaking windy as hell.
Well, that's still way cold. That's like
it's
not
gonna
even...
It's going to be 6 on 4. I mean, we haven't been that bad. I'm sure you have a lot of New York friends, but we're up... 2 hours, you know, north of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't been that terrible of winter, so I don't want to sound like the grumpy old man. But it's just not L.A.
No,
and I'm not making the trip this year, which really sucks. Our annual Anaheim, L.A. trip. My wife is going without us. The boys are staying back home, which it could be a little dicey, Dave.
You know, one-on-one
the first time
we'll have, one.
Yeah, first time no mom out, you know, outside of obviously during the day he's with me now all day because I'm not working. But yeah, so like there's no plan B. It's all me.
Yeah.
I mean, I have him every day now.
Mm-hmm.
All weekdays, but not overnight. So this could be an interesting one.
Ooh, I got my fingers crossed for you for that one, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather we took him. You know, I'd rather take him there, but I don't know. It's a lot. He's traveled a lot actually already, being so little.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're gonna stick it out here.
All right.
I don't get to go to Cafe Gratitude or all those other awesome vegan places that you guys have over there.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds.
Obviously, I'm over it, but.
Well, that's still a bummer. Really. Hopefully the next time out you get a chance to come back here to the West and see what's shaking over here. So, okay. Did you have any other thoughts or questions before we go? Like anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I don't think so. Just, you know, it was awesome. Awesome talking to you as usual. Not surprised at all that it went from movies to music and almost nothing to do with sports or avoiding the fact that three teams don't have managers right now. And pitchers and catchers are like 3 weeks away. That's pretty awesome.
That is that is hysterical, and we will cover that next week, I think, when we do our baseball recap, like baseball offseason stuff. I'm trying to get the baseball fellows on for that, Jerry.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure. Yeah, they'll be great.
They're made fire. Like, Fids, it's going to be all over that.
Yeah, like people are talking about baseball before the championship weekend in the NFL, which is obviously they're not doing it for a good reason, but it's still something that I could never imagine happening.
Yeah. It sucks for the sport, though. It's like that this is the reason why we're talking about baseball is because it's being just hammered by this terrible cheating scandal. And, you know, a lot of my friends have been coming to me like, oh, man, dang, geez. Does that make you feel better as a Dodger fan? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm all right with it. I mean, it's like it's not going to bring a championship back, and I wouldn't even want it. Like, you know how people have been saying
– those are so ridiculous.
Yeah, right? I'm like, why would you – what that doesn't mean anything. Like, oh, well, you get the championship. No, we don't. Like, we didn't do it when we were playing the games. Like, I don't think that really does much.
And I don't think they would even do that. When you vacate a championship, you don't give it to someone else.
No, you definitely don't. Like, that would be unprecedented. So
How could you even do that? I mean, I don't know. From the entire thing, it's wild and weird. I just my only thing that I would ever like to go back in time and see is last year or the year before when the Astros and the Red Sox were actually playing each other.
Oh.
Like, what was happening then? Were they just like banging trash cans everywhere? Like, did it totally melt down because everyone was doing it? And they just had to stop because they're like, wait a minute, what was that? Was that two knocks? Yes. One. What's going on? Is that your trash can? Is that ours?
Yeah. Are you up to speed on the buzzer situation, the scenario with Jose Altuve?
Well, that's one of the coolest things that like I said, I don't watch the sports, but. Mm-hmm. I keep updated because we have Sirius now. So when I'm driving around with Cody, I basically just go to Mad Dog's channel or MLB, the MLB channel. Mm-hmm. Those are I just go back and forth. Whoever is interesting, whatever's being discussed, I just go because baseball is always my favorite. So I was never a huge Russo fan, but he's got his things. He's got his good moments. So
but he's on fire this week.
I do keep posted. So I did hear a little bit about them thinking that they were wearing, which just sounds so absurd, but I can't even believe that would be true. But then again, you know, these guys have been cheating forever.
I mean,
it's bad, but, so
it's just too bad. Like, you know, this team seems so good that they don't need to go through things like that. It just seems like this is overkill for them, and it's unfortunate. It really is, because like this is a team that could have been really great, and they were really great, but it's just that this is just kind of taking it into the theater of the ridiculous. And
it's a theater of the absurd by far. It's
yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see it all play out. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And I don't know what it's going to mean for the future of baseball, but I think it is good that they... Oh, go ahead, Jack.
I know, I love how the capper is like, the Mets are like, hey, we didn't even cheat. Why? Now, what's going on? Like, now our guy gets fired? Like, I don't want to say the poor Mets because they get exactly what they deserve, but it's like they weren't even in the controversy. They had it was the Astros and the Red Sox, whatever.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're just the little Mets, and we're going to try to do whatever. And they're like, oh, all of a sudden, all the cameras are at your door, and all people want to talk to you. And like, we didn't have shit to do with this. What the hell?
Did you agree with the decision to let go of Beltran?
I think I don't think you had a choice. Plus, to channel my inner Chris Russo, it's like you're not letting Miller Huggins go either. So if there was somebody, you know, if they had hired, I don't know, if you, pick somebody like big time. If they had hired Girardi and then it turned out
right. There
was evidence that Girardi was doing some funky things with the Yankees 5 years ago, you could probably have weathered the storm. But why would you even put up, like, it's Carlos Beltran. Like, I don't know, even like Keith Hernandez, like pick something like really guy that the Mets fans just absolutely think can do no wrong, you know? Speaking of that, yeah, they should probably replace Beltran with like Strawberry or Gooden. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Just go all the way with it.
Like, listen, we fired the guy who cheats, but now we got the coat with the crackhead.
Oh, man.
See what you people got? Yeah.
Yeah.
See what you've all done.
The Mets have been really, they get the worst luck, don't they? I mean, just nothing, they just seem to cannot catch a break with these scenarios. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they can't catch a break, but I'm not sure they even deserve one.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, you could have just hired someone with a little more managerial experience anyway, right?
They were trying, yeah, they had they were trying to, you know, pretend, like, outsmart everybody again. They think, you know,
yep,
the younger guys or the ex-players, and like, hey, well, let's do it too. Because, of course, they're always going to be on the middle to the end of the trend. They're not going to be in the beginning of it. That's just how they roll.
It is. All right. Well, again, this has been great. I missed chatting with you, Junkman. So anytime you want to do this again, just let me know. We can do this again.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, enjoy your weekend, sir, and all the best to the family.
Yeah. You too.
Thanks, sir.
Brother.
All right, bud.
See ya.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Kevin on the Cape. Man, what a good show. Hope you enjoyed it. Random questions, and that wraps up our week of DITCOW. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Thanks for the questions, too. And once again, if you want to send your question to our show, just tweet it at DITCOW. Write the word question followed by the question itself, or you can hashtag random cues on your tweet. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week with a lot more stuff, baseball and more. We'll see you next time.